Let's turn our attention to the ski industry, to the hospitality industry in particular. A story I'm very fond of because about 5 years ago, I traveled north, way up there to Colebrook, New Hampshire, to visit Les Otten, a developer and ski entrepreneur in Dixville Notch. This is, of course, famous for where they start voting for the president. That's the first. And in fact, Les has held those sessions himself in the Balsams Hotel. He has new financing, a new breath of life. Les, welcome. It's been too long. Give us an update here. It sounds like you've got things to be excited about.
Project. Hey, Griff, first of all, thanks. Missed you too. We got to stop meeting like this once every 5 years. come on up and vote in the primaries next year, and we'll make a party out of it. The good news is that we teamed up with Provident Financial, who is working with Goldman Sachs as a proposed underwriter in a 501c3 institutional bond offering to finance one of the major hotels. And that's a big piece of the overall financing of the project that is potentially within grasp. And that sort of brings the rest of the project then potentially within grasp. And so we're excited about that.
So, Les, this is Kim Kerrigan. Let's back up just a second. Hi there, sir. Let's back up just a second. First off, let me just say these big, huge old hotels like this are so cool to me and so romantic. So I'm very excited about your project up there. But let's back up a little bit. The hotel has been closed since 2011. Can you maybe walk us through what's happened over the course of these years?
Well, I got involved initially about 7 years ago and then got really serious about this about 5 years ago when Tom first interviewed me. The project is the rehabilitation of the old Dix and Hampshire House. The Hampshire House, originally built in 1916 and opened, was home to Babe Ruth and Frank Sinatra and a whole host of international travelers over the years in the Grand Hotel style. And those buildings are being rebuilt with interval ownership opportunities. The new building, which is a 280-room, pretty well-appointed hotel, is being built as right next to the Dix Hampshire houses. And so combined, the resort will end up with about 430 or 440 hotel rooms, giving room for, two people in a room, over 800 people, which is what the resort really needed to have enough bodies in it. And we're rebuilding the ski area, adding a gondola and three other new lifts, and hope to be open December of 2024.
Yeah. So Les, are you still at this point building, or did things have to come to a halt while you tried to find new money?
We came to a halt. We perfected our permits, and we've had quite a lot of success pre-selling real estate in the buildings to be built. Other than maintaining the golf course and the facility as it is, we've basically been closed to the general public now for the last 5 years. Well, actually, the project's been closed to the general public for 11. My tenure, it's been closed for 5 or 6 years.
And during that 5 or 6 years that you've been involved, tell us what exactly has occurred.
Planning, permitting, okay. Land acquisitions, options, establishing wetland, getting our 401 from the Army Corps of Engineers, everything that's necessary to really have what we'd call, quote unquote, a shovel-ready project. Our architectural drawings got completed, and our planning board approvals gone through. We also were able to create a planned unit development and zone our 11,000 acres for development for now and for the future. A lot of very uninteresting, boring work that needs to get done that's been completed.
Sure.
Les Otten, our guest, we're talking about his project, the Balsams. He's redoing two buildings and building a brand new one. So, Les, when I came up there, you're a ski guy. I mean, you are famous for Sunday River. And we talked about this, and I want you to take our listeners through this. You are looking at a map. Now, let's remember, the Balsams for 45 years or so included three lifts, Balsams Wilderness Ski Area. But you took a look at an adjacent parcel, and you saw something that excited you greatly. Tell us what, fill us in.
So the Balsams had a wonderful resort, basically one mountain, about 1,000 or 1,100 feet of vertical and about 15 trails. It really a nice, small, it's great mountain. It snows there a lot. You know, a couple of years ago, we had over 300 inches of snow. What was missing was sort of the high-end, exciting skiing, the steeper vertical, and sort of the more woods-oriented backcountry skiing. What we noticed when we looked at just the topographic map of what was at the Balsams, there really wasn't anything there. But when you expanded your view and looked at the larger area, there was about close to 4,000 acres of expandable ski terrain that, from my knowledge and working in the industry, to me in the East, would make the Balsams one of the largest resorts on the East Coast, and you know, a significant amount of vertical in an area where it snows a lot. So that's what excited me. The Balsams historically had been a summer resort, you know, where fine food and the outdoors and swimming and fishing on the lakes and all of those outdoor activities were there. But it was never really a grand resort in the wintertime because there wasn't a lot of skiing. Mm. Now, I think we're in absolutely great shape to be a year-round destination. It's funny, interesting, you know, being a ski guy, as you say I am, and I'm not quite sure what that means other than I still love to ski at 72, but the value of this project to me was the fact that now, for the first time in my life looking at an eastern ski area, the predominance of its value was the summer destination. To add something that's exciting in the winter really makes it a one-of-a-kind.
Mm. Year-round.
Right. Year-round one-of-a-kind, yes. Yes.
Absolutely. So, Les, we're a business show, so we have to ask you some of the business of all of this. So let's talk a little bit about what this investment has been for you so far, and then when we add on what sounds like a very ambitious extension of this resort, both the ski area and just the structures themselves, what kind of financing you went out to find and what you found?
So, the project as we see it is about a $200 million project. The portion that is going to be potentially underwritten by Goldman Sachs with Provident is about $75 million of that, $75 or a little bit more. The remainder of it is real estate for resale, lift investment, and then capital that we're putting in about $30 million worth of equity. There's also a very unique tax assessment district, which was authorized by HB 450, which is an act of the legislature back in 2019, that allows us to take the benefits of essentially a TIF, but in an assessment district setting, of about $30 million. So that sort of blocks up the major pieces of the financing. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand that $200 million is a giant number. The problem the Balsams had, and the reason that it was closed and the reason that it was losing money, is it wasn't quite big enough to be attractive enough to have positive cash flow. The size that it was just wasn't going to be competitive. What we're doing is, yes, we're spending a lot, but a big piece of it is a four-star hotel that is coming to us through a 501. Another big piece of this is a hotel that's interval ownership, and the creation of the ski area is in part being made through the significant equity investment that we're making and the tax assessment district. Mm-hmm. So the size that we're going to come up with, it's not going to be the biggest ski resort in the Northeast, but it's going to be the most effective and most well done year round resort in the Northeast of the United States, and that will turn it into positive cash flow. So the goal has always been, don't build it too big, but build it big enough so that you can have, you know, that you can grow, and you can grow organically with your own money going forward, and that's what we're proposing.
Les, about a minute left here. Now, Coos County and those officials, I was taking a look at some notes that your team sent over. I mean, they're excited about this. They haven't given up on this, obviously. This does mean a good economic impact for what is, you know, a kind of a hard scrabble county to begin with, right?
It's hardscrabble. It's the only county in New Hampshire that has had negative population growth over the last several decades. It's lost 5,000 jobs. There are only about 33,000 residents in the largest county in the state. You know, New Hampshire is about 4 million acres of forested land. It's 85% forested, and this, we're right in the middle of that. So we're looking at this with Coos County as saying, there's 400 full-time year-round jobs that come out of this initially, up to 1,500 jobs in the long term, and 600 construction jobs initially for at least 2 years. So it is a big economic driver for the region and potentially a game changer.
Les Otten, always a pleasure, sir. We'll keep up to date with you on this, and best of luck.